Well, that is really at the center of everything. For me to live is Christ. You know, when that truly is your heartbeat, God fixes everything. He pulls everything together. When we concentrate and we realize how good God is and how merciful God is, and that Jesus Christ came on this earth and gave everything for us. He shed his blood and endured a torturous death in order to communicate to us the love and mercy of God, forgiving us from that cross. And when we really are captured by the love of God and we're so overwhelmed that we want to just respond to that love however we can, and all we care about is that we want to honor and please him because of what he has done for us, all the problems of life disappear. All the strongholds are broken. And that is what Christ died for, is to bring us together with God in the relationship of love he created us to have. And nothing else besides that matters. And once that connection with God is firm, and God can work in our lives to bring about his glory rather than to discipline us to get our attention, everything in life. When the Spirit is there, we've got freedom, we've got joy, we've got peace, we've got faith. God gives us everything that we need for whatever the situation is. He transforms our thinking. And rather than seeing life from a human perspective with all the worry and the fear and the difficulty and the turmoil and the pain and the hurt that brings, we see things through God's eyes, from God's perspective, and everything is an opportunity to grow closer and to see the magnificence of our merciful Savior. And so there's nothing that is more important than what is going on in our minds. And that's where the battle is. You know, many of you got this text. Probably a lot of you didn't, because if you're not texting with Jesse, you didn't see it. But one of the pastors in India, and we talk about them, I guess, pretty frequently around here because of the connection they have. But one of the pastors who has been trained was attacked and stoned last Saturday while returning home from visiting a new believer. Think about that. He survived the stoning. As he was home recovering, do you know what he was talking about? I must go back there because there is a new believer there and he feels God calling him to go to help that believer grow and to help a church become established there. And so he messaged, this was a couple of days ago, but I'm going to put the message up there. And he messaged, I think this was Jesse's father. But he says, I'm feeling better, sir. So I know it wasn't Jesse. I have to go to that place again. Please remember me in your prayer. You know, it reminded me of Paul when he felt God was calling him to Jerusalem. And the prophets realized that God's will for him was going to be to die and to be martyred there in Jerusalem. And the church tried to talk him out of it because they loved him, they needed him, they wanted him there. But Paul could not go. You know, it's interesting. This man right here has a stronghold in his life that's put there by God. Because nothing can penetrate and distract him from the calling he feels in his heart to follow Christ and to do whatever God is telling him to do. Because his relationship with Christ is so important and his faith in Christ is so great that he is not going to be bombarded and discouraged or backed off by the realities of the temporal arguments that probably even his friends are giving him. You can't go there. You can't do that. They almost killed you last time. As a matter of fact, I believe the disciples said that to Jesus. But he knew what the Father had for him, and so he was not tempted by the things that Satan was trying to discourage him with by creating fear in his life. Do you know what a stronghold is? A stronghold is a fortress or a castle. It's impenetrable walls that are set to defend against attack. That's what a stronghold is. The devil wants to put them in your life, and God wants to put them in your life. You know you have them in your life when you defend the position that you have. Let me give you just a real innocent type example. Last week we talked about the lies that we so easily with our human nature believe because we're so self-centered that it's easy for Satan to tempt us into thinking negative things about ourselves because we love ourselves so much and we want so much good for ourselves that we can see all of our weaknesses and we hate them. And so we say things to ourselves like, you know what? I'm just not as good as everybody else. I wish I was as smart as Jim. I wish I was as talented as Alan. I wish I was as good an athlete as Hal is. I wish I could run. I wish if I was different than I am, people would like me. But I'm just not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not going to make it. You know, I need some help from people. And so I start looking for help from people. I need someone to love me. And I've got all of those things going that are taking me away from God and focusing my attention on things on this earth, on my abilities, on myself, or on other people. And so I walk into a place. Now, I don't realize that what's happening is I am developing a stronghold in my life that is building up walls in my mind against what God is trying to say. I can't even hear God anymore. If God says I'm a masterpiece, I can't even hear that anymore. Because when I open up God's word and I read, you are a masterpiece created for good works that he planned long ago for me. I'm thinking, what can I do? I can't do anything. I am defending myself against those words. And no, I am looking for data that confirms what I already believe. See, I told you. I walk in that place, nobody talks to me. I go to a party, my best friend comes across, you know, he walks in there and he doesn't say hello. See, nobody even likes me. As soon as we get in here, you know, he cares about other people. He doesn't care about me, and I'm feeling all sorry for myself. And I don't even realize what I am doing is I am looking for data to collect to build the wall of the stronghold higher and higher in my life, and I will defend against anything that is against what I've already decided I believe because it's a stronghold in my mind. My friend couldn't even come over and say, no, I didn't even see you there. I was like, I had this terrible headache and I wasn't, you know, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. That's a stronghold where the truth can't penetrate it anymore. Okay. And that's what is so easy to build in our lives. And those are the things that keep us from being connected to God because we won't listen to God. Because we've already made up our minds that something that is not true is the truth. And so we can't hear him. Well, God wants to build in our lives godly strongholds. That means he wants to build these fortresses inside of us that are so strong that we are looking to collect data that confirms the truth. And when something comes to tempt us to believe a lie, we process that out and we deflect that off real easily. That's what this man has built in his life. He has a stronghold built in his life that God loves him. That God has a purpose for his life. That nothing can come into his life that God does not allow because God is working all things together for good. And he knows that Christ suffered for him that he might know who God is. And he knows that he was called to fulfill the sufferings of Christ and suffer for Christ so that others might be able to see the mercy, the goodness, the strength, that they might see his faith. And so he knows that if God has allowed something in his life, God will see him through and if God's desire for his life is over, he is ready to meet his maker. And if God's desire for his life is not, he is going to stand firm and see the miracles. You can't see the miracles if the strongholds keep you from seeing what God wants. Let me give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Indian pastors. I told you two stories. One of them, a man came in and was beaten and drug out. And a few days later, after he recovered, he went back in there and they came in to beat him again. And as soon as they walked in, he stood up and started sharing Christ with them. And they could not believe that he would come back again. And they listened and he led them to Christ. And there's a church there now. I told you another story of a pastor who was there in the midst of persecution and he died because they poisoned him. And now there is one convert from that church or from that village that is training to go back in to convey the word. Neither life was wasted. Neither life was important. Both lives were fulfilling what God had called them to, and both of them had a stronghold of faith built in their lives so that the temptation and the discouragement and all of the worldly advice, even well-intentioned, from other people or from their own fears and desires, couldn't penetrate the truth that they knew that God had firmed in their life. And that's what we're talking about as far as building these strongholds. When our desires run out of control, they become strongholds against the knowledge of God. That's what the strongholds are about. And that's what the battle is about. It's not about the specific way in which we are drawn away. It's about whether or not we can connect back with God. And whether or not we can walk with him. And in this series, we're talking about demolishing these strongholds. We all know we get them. Human nature makes it easy for us to get them. The further away from God we are, the bigger they get and the more impenetrable they seem in our lives. And eventually, they grow that whether we're Christians or non-Christians, when we let a stronghold build in our life, eventually we start to see the effects of it. And eventually we get to that place where we realize that this thing that we originally thought was going to be good, and we chased after this person, or we chased after this job, or we chased after this acceptance for a group, or we chased after this material possession, or we chased after the excitement or the pleasure that we got in partying or alcohol or whatever it is. Eventually, the stronghold comes to a place where we realize that it's not giving us the benefit we thought it would. It's actually imprisoning us. And we see the destruction that's happening. And so we want that demolished. But there's only one way that those things can be demolished. And that is by building godly strongholds. See, a lot of times people approach it with the human mind and the human nature and human resources. And remember, Jesus says, what is of the spirit is of the spirit, and what is of the flesh is of the flesh. When you have a spiritual stronghold built in your life where you think differently than God does, and it is drawing you further and further away from hearing God, you can't break that down with your own human resources and abilities. You have to replace that with a godly stronghold. Jesus tells a story of a man that tried not to. You remember the story? The man had a demon inside of him. In other words, his thinking was twisted, his heart was twisted, his life was twisted, and he was the devil's servant, not God's. And the demon was cast out, and there was great relief for a while. And then the demon went out. And he found seven other demons and he came back. And what did he find? He found the house swept and empty. It was all cleaned up. And he came back and dwelt in it again. And the state of the man was worse than it was before. Man, how many times have I heard that through drug rehab? How many times have I heard that through counseling? How many times have I heard that through alcohol rehab? The state of the man is worse because now it comes back and he has no hope that he can ever escape. But the problem was that the room was empty. There was no godly stronghold built. His relationship with God was not built and strengthened. He was trying to maintain his behaviors. He was trying to maintain the things that were causing problems in his life, those strongholds. Satan's target is your mind, and his weapon is lies. And when we start to realize that anything that is contrary to what God tells us about him, about himself, about the world we live in, and about how we operate as Christians is a lie. And if we embrace that, and if we build our hopes for happiness and for success or for acceptance on that lie, it will soon reveal itself as a stronghold and a prison. Even if when we began, we did not think that was what it was going to be. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Although if you look around, often, even Christian people try to fight their strongholds with the weapons of the world. They look around and they say, here's what I need. I need more determination. I need a stronger will. I need some support from others. I need some encouragement from others. I need to change my friend group. I need some more education. I need to be able to see things from a different perspective, and I need accountability from somebody. And we lose all these things, which in themselves could be tools of God. But if you take God out of the picture and you try to use the tools, you always end up in the same place, only worse. Because now you realize you don't have the willpower. And I lie to my accountability partner. I don't tell him all the truth. And all the encouragement of the world just makes me feel guiltier because now I'm trying to pretend to you so you'll like me that I'm somebody I'm not. And I'm isolated with that guilt. But we don't fight the way the world does. On the contrary, we have divine power. Strongholds are only brought down through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that divine power will demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Let me give you an example. Some of you probably are aware of this situation. Some of you probably aren't. But years ago, I had a young man who came in, and I had seen him a couple of times, but he was just captured by drugs. And everything in his life was falling apart. It had destroyed his hopes, his dreams, his family, everything. And eventually, he ended up in jail. And he was not interested in talking about Christ or things like that, but he was interested in getting out of jail. And so we were able to get him into Teen Challenge. Thank you. Boy, I'm getting old, aren't I? Teen Challenge. And he came by. I didn't even ask him to come by, but he came by on the day he was going. And he knocked on the door and he said, you know, I'm fixing to go in there and I want to thank you for helping arrange that so I could get in, but I just want to be upfront and honest with you. I am not interested in Christ at all. And I said, well, that's fine. I'm glad you're honest and stuff. And he said, well, I just wanted to tell you because I'm going in there because and I'm going to do the time, and but I'm not, I don't want to hear any of that stuff. And when I get out, I've already got my plans. I'm going to get video games. I'm going to go in my basement. I'm not going to have contact with anybody. And I'm just going to live the rest of my life away because I know I can't handle being off the drugs. But I am going to, I'm going to just isolate myself right here. Well, you know how long that would last. And I said, you are aware that that Teen Challenge has a 96% success rate with people staying off drugs after they go through the program. And the average drug program has a 7% success rate. He said, yeah, I know that. I heard about the program. I saw that stuff when I went in there. And I said, well, do you think that there's any possibility at all? Do you think there's any possibility that the reason they've got a 96% success rate and the others have a 7% success rate could be because theirs is based on getting a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he looked at me with no expression and said, no, I don't think it's got anything to do with that. I think people need some type of crutch. They'll find whichever one they want. Mine is going to be the video games in my room. I said, well, okay. I called up there. I let them know what's going on. They said, good. They said, we get lots of people who've been around. They know how to play the game. He said, what we want is somebody who comes up here and they're honest. He said, so that's what we're looking for. So I said, well, all right. A couple months went by. I guess maybe 6 months went by. And he was talking with me again. I can't remember if he called and I met him someplace or if he came by my office. But he had fought tooth and nail, angry at everything that they had done. But he had a guy that was there who had been through the program longer than him, who had found Christ. And he looked at what was happening in that guy's life and what faith that he had developed and the person that he had become. And he looked at everybody else who was fighting it like him, who were in there younger. And he realized, I'm just like them, but man, I wished I was like him. And eventually, God broke through, and he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. I don't know how many years that's been, 4 or 5. He's still not on drugs. Because the answer to the strongholds has to include Jesus Christ. It has to include forgiveness of my sins and the realization that God sent his only son to die for me so that I might have my sins wiped away and I might be connected with him and be able to live the life he created me for, not to be entrapped by the life I created because I didn't want to listen to God. The God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they might not see the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. He's God who's come in the flesh. He's God with us to show us God's heart. When this young man saw God's heart, it changed who he was. Now, he's still a human being. He's not perfect. You know, that's one of the fallacies that we have. Boy, he had experience with Christ. He must be great now. He probably doesn't do anything wrong. If he did, something didn't work in there. You know, he's still got some struggles. But he's free. And he can find Christ. And he's connected to Christ. He saw the light of the gospel. It opened his eyes to what life is all about. We were created to know God. John 17:3 tells us, and this is eternal life, that we might know what? That we might know God. And Jesus Christ, whom he sent. That's what life is all about. Everything else is dressing. Everything that we experience here is just a tool in which God can reveal himself to us, reveal his love to us, in which we can have a relationship with him. And soon this world will fade away and that relationship will go on in some type of place that we don't even understand or can't even imagine. But it doesn't end right here. Our relationship with Christ is what goes on forever. And people with strongholds cannot see the importance of listening to and loving and understanding and experiencing the love of the God who created them. There's something more important than God. There's some matter more pressing than God. There's something that demands their time and energy more than God. And they want the strongholds broken. And then, maybe they'll connect with God. But we all know that if the strongholds are broken and everything is fun and exciting and good in their life, they're not going to be interested in God. Because the good time is what they want. That's why God allows those strongholds to deteriorate our lives. To find them empty. You know, is that house a blessing? Or is it the yielding to a temptation that becomes a burden and a curse? Do the things that you have bring you closer to the people that you love and to God as you can experience the love that he has brought into this world and the security of being in God's hands? Or do the things that are in your hands actually preoccupy your mind and have you putting God off, putting God off, putting God off? And we don't even realize that that's a stronghold. It's a stronghold against the knowledge of God. That we're blinded to. We don't see the importance of God. We don't see the importance of Christ. We don't see the power of his love. That's a stronghold. That's what strongholds are all about. The devil doesn't care what stronghold he builds in your life. It doesn't matter. All he wants to do is distract you from having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what matters. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, what happens? The veil is taken away. In other words, when this young man went in there, he had a ton of strongholds built up. And they forced him to do devotions. They forced him to do Bible study. You can't get through the program without doing it. He had to read the Bible. He read the Bible for months. And did he get anything out of it? No, it just built more resentment that somebody is telling me what I got to do and I don't want to hear it. I just want to get through the program, get in my basement and start playing my video games and be left alone. I don't want the consequences of this stronghold in my life anymore, but I don't want to hear all this stuff from God. That stronghold was there. Then eventually the Spirit of God touched him through the life of another person and his eyes were opened. And now he looked down and he read those words. But he was seeking for the person who breathed those words. He was looking for the word of God to come alive and make Christ alive and experience God. He wanted a relationship with God and the veil was taken away. And all of a sudden, the same words that he had read over and over and over, answering the questions in the Bible study, knock down strongholds and demolish strongholds all through his life. Strongholds he didn't even know were there. And gave him freedom. For the Lord is the Spirit. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they're all one. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? There's freedom. And I remember meeting with him afterwards, and he just came with such joy and such conviction and such peace. He went from a place where he thought he had to hibernate in order to make it because he could not possibly ever withstand the temptation, to a place where he was completely confident that God would help him overcome those things. Freedom. That's what God wants to give us. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the God. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Not only do we see, but we reflect the glory of God. So now he can reflect the glory of God. Before, he had the Bible study book, and if they made him, he could have got somebody else and gone through the Bible study book with them. He could have gave them all the right answers. But what he can't give them is the Spirit of God. Because it's not in them. Because you have to be able to see God to reflect God. Because what God does is he changes our attitudes. He changes our thought patterns. He changes how we approach and see life. And that's what makes all the difference in the daily decisions and choices that we make. It's the heart that the Spirit speaks through. And the Lord who is the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:18 continues, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Isn't it interesting that what God wants us to do is have a relationship with him where that relationship changes who we are, how we think, how we feel, what motivates us? And that has a tremendous effect on what we do. But it's not about God giving us rules that tells us what we do and then somehow we'll magically have some kind of pleasing relationship with him. We seek that relationship with God, and when His Spirit comes into our life, it changes us. And we take every thought and make it obedient to Christ. This is what building a stronghold is. This is how we build strongholds. We take every thought we have and we put it up against the mirror of God's Word. I tell myself, I'm not good enough. I look in God's Word, and that mirror tells me, no, you are a masterpiece. Well, somebody's wrong here. Either the way I think or what God thinks is wrong. One of those two. Most people don't ever want to address that. They don't want to fight the battle. They don't realize that is a battle. I feel too bad about myself to enter any kind of battle or spiritual struggle. I just can't. I can't relate to God. There's no solution to your problem without relating to God, because Jesus is the answer. And so we look at that mirror, and then we make every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, we say, Lord, I believe that what you're telling me is true. I don't feel it. I'm struggling with it because right now the flesh or the human nature is pulling me to think in this direction, and I need your Holy Spirit to somehow change who I am and give me the power to be able to believe what you're telling me. And when we commit ourselves to do that, and we commit ourselves to obey what God told us to do, it's amazing how through that walking, just that step of saying, okay, you told me this, so I'm going to act and I'm going to do what you told me to do. It's amazing how God changes the way we feel. And He builds that stronghold in our life. Satan wants to build ungodly strongholds, whereas God wants to build godly strongholds. Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. And symbolically, it's talking about this battle right here. And you enter into it when you first say, okay, I feel this way, I think this way, let me check and see what God says. How many people never check to see what God says? They just live life the way they think, the way their friends said, somebody they heard on the radio, what the world is telling them. But there's a battle there, and if you want to be close to God, you got to fight it. And that battle's in your mind. And what you'll find is what David, or what Paul says. He, actually this is David, I got the reference on there wrong, sorry. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge. Christ is our stronghold. Our relationship with Christ is what breaks all of those chains of the strongholds of our wrong thinking. We can't straighten out our thoughts through getting data without Christ. The goal of our knowledge is to know God, and we take refuge in Him. We have the mind of Christ. That doesn't mean that because I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, I now automatically have God's thinking patterns in my head. You know that's not true. The mind of Christ is in us because the Holy Spirit is in us. And we can choose to follow our own human reasoning and lean on our own understanding, or to trust in the Lord in what He says, and we've got the Holy Spirit in there to provoke us and to lead us if we will just listen and follow. We have the mind of Christ. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. A lot of times I have people who come in, and what they want is they want me to help them overcome a problem that they're having. They want to overcome something that's dominating their life, whether it's anger or whatever it is. And it's ruining their life. It's ruining their relationships. But you can't overcome those things without the Spirit of God transforming how you think and how you feel. If I am angry and I'm thinking thoughts that make me angrier, I am going to demonstrate anger no matter how much self-will I have somewhere down the line. And people who aren't spiritual, who aren't looking to connect to God and don't realize that Jesus is the answer, they can't receive these truths about God's Spirit. It sounds foolishness to them. I've got too many problems to be concentrating on what is God saying to me. I can't just let everything down and let everything go and listen to Him and trust Him that He can work through all the problems that I've created. I got to manage them somehow. They can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. In other words, if Christ is not first to you, if you don't put Christ and your relationship with Him first, you're not going to see those strongholds be demolished. You may trade strongholds, but you're not going to see them demolished, because the strongholds are demolished through Christ. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how do we know the way? I don't know where God's leading me. I don't know what God is doing. How do I know the way?" How did Jesus answer him? He said, "I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. There is no truth when you remove God's Spirit, who can do the impossible, from the equation. There is no way when you take out the God who parts the waters. There is no life if you're finding peace, joy, comfort outside of God, who can give that comfort that goes beyond the circumstances. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's where the power is, when we are next to God. Remember what we read in Psalms 144:2. "He is my loving God, my fortress." My fortress is God. My stronghold is God. My deliverer is God. My shield is God. And I take refuge in God. He's the only one that can give that true stronghold that will withstand any attack. "For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son whom he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We've talked a lot about sin and about what it is. The essence of sin is really when I push myself away from God's presence so that I can do what I want. Because I can't do what I want if I'm close to God. Those desires to do things that God doesn't want, I'm telling you, nobody commits an affair when they're close to the Lord. Nobody clicks on the internet when they're close to the Lord. Nobody shoots heroin when they're close to the Lord. Nobody yells at their wife when they're close to the Lord. Nobody spreads gossip when they're close to the Lord. Nobody wants to take revenge and destroy another person when they're close to the Lord. The forgiveness of our sins brings us close to Him and reconnects us. "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence." I want you to catch this. "So that." "Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive." You know, there are a lot of people who are trying to receive things from God, but they don't want to approach His throne of grace in confidence because they are surrounded and enveloped by the knowledge of Him and His love. But there's no way to receive the mercy and the grace and the help that you need in time of need outside of getting close to God. So as we embark, and what we're going to do is we're going to take these different strongholds that most people deal with, the most difficult ones, and we're going to examine them. And we're going to examine how God breaks them. But it's God that breaks them. So how do we fight those thoughts that are opposed to what God wants us to think and bring ourselves in line with His thinking and let His thinking transform us? We're going to step through those one by one. But what I really wanted to hit today is that you can't let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. You can't put on the new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy, without being in God's presence. So if you want those strongholds to be demolished, and if you want to have the kind of faith that God does miracles in your life, like that pastor we started with, your number one priority has got to be to know the God that created you. And that can only be done through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you love us. And if we're honest, Lord, it's very difficult for our human minds to understand who you are or even sometimes to see the need that we have to grab a hold of you. And we are so grateful that in your infinite mercy, you reached out to us. Nobody on their own seeks you. And we can't come to you without your Holy Spirit touching our heart and drawing us. And so, Father, I pray that when you speak, that you allow us to follow you with all the passion in our hearts. Don't let fear make us step back and wait. Don't let us take time to logically think out if we really want to follow or draw close to you. But let us abandon ourselves like you abandoned everything to come to earth to contact us. Let us drop everything and reach out to you. Because we see, pictured plainly in Jesus Christ, how much you desire and love and want our relationship. So, Father, right now we ask you to forgive us for putting things more important than you. And we ask you to just come in with your Holy Spirit and just take our lives over and make us like Christ, the person that you created us to be, full of joy and peace and faith and gentleness and goodness and kindness and mercy and self-control. So we ask for your help, and we believe in the power of your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.